Brett Hollander back here on Sportsline on WBAL as we continue to talk about the Alex Rodriguez saga. Someone who's pretty much an expert on the matter. He is the national baseball writer for the New York Times and wrote a really compelling piece yesterday in the Times called Rodriguez Barred from Baseball but Not from the Public Eye. Tyler Kepner joins us from the New York Times. Tyler, thank you so much for coming on.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start actually with your knowledge of Rodriguez, somewhat the person, not just the ball player or the steroid user, PED user, whatever have you. You've covered A-Rod's almost entire career in New York and even before that in Seattle. Is he the same person now as far as his personality or who he is in front of the cameras or in an interview as he was when he broke in at such a young age in Seattle?
Well, I think the way I always try to say it is there were elements of A-Rod there at the time, but you got a little more Alex than you did A-Rod back then. But over time, especially, you know, with the Yankees, you know, after he signed that big contract extension, especially, he became much more A-Rod than Alex. But it was always there. It was always somewhat of a con when you look back on it. He was always a very calculating guy. But he was also able to be charming, and you know, a lot of con men are charming at the very beginning, and then you find out who they really are.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying for a long time now, even from my vantage point, who's, of course, covered A-Rod at a few press conferences, but just seeing him on television, what you hear him say to Katie Couric in 07, then to Peter Gammons in 08, every pause in those interviews is measured, every fake tear, it's all very crafted, and it's always been very crafted for Rodriguez.
Yeah, I think that's sadly right. You know, we had inklings of it in Seattle, and then more so in Texas. And then when he got to New York, it was like, well, it's going to be really tough to be, you know, for a phony to really thrive in New York because there's just so many people. They're going to sniff you out, and that happened pretty quickly. You know, really, even before the steroid admission, because of Celina Roberts' reporting there for Sports Illustrated, he had really worn out his welcome with a lot of people in New York, just by the way he carries himself and the way he treats people. And then the steroid admission, really a revelation, I should say, because he wouldn't admit it without the revelation. That really gave everybody a reason to, to doubt everything that he had done. But he did have a lot of years left in his contract, and he asked the American people to give him a second chance. And as I wrote the other day, I mean, for everything that had happened up to that point, it did seem reasonable, at least, that he was going to be in baseball for a lot more, many more years. And, okay, let's give him a second chance and judge him from this day forward, as he said. And look what he's done since then.
What drives him now? Is it the money? Is it his legacy? Is it playing baseball, which I still believe he probably on some level really enjoys doing? When I look at A-Rod, it's always someone else's fault. He's going after the Players Union, Major League Baseball, of course, the media. And going back to the 07 or 08 admission with Gammons, he blames the pressure, his youth, the culture, his cousin, you name it. He's found a reason for it. But what really drives him?
Well, I think I do think he loves baseball. I've always given that to him just from talking to him over the years and seeing the baseball only emphasis, the baseball intellect that he has is really off the charts. I mean, he sees things that most players don't see, or at least he communicates what he sees very well. And he genuinely loves playing the game. Now, he's very good at it, and he's very good at it in part because he's cheated. But he does love it, and he's always loved it. And I think also he learned to love what baseball brings him, which is fame and lots of money. And the bottom line thing you always have to understand about him is that I've never met, and most would say the same thing, anybody as insecure as he is. He's just extreme. For someone so talented, he's just bizarrely insecure. And I think that really drives a lot of his crazy behavior, because he really, really wants to achieve, and he really, really loves baseball, and he goes about it in such obvious ways. The people he collects, the people he associates with, and the things he shoots for. And he has this incredible drive and talent, but when it's mixed with this chronic insecurity, it can lead to some really bad decisions.
Yeah, you may find this completely unfair. I think it's somewhat fair game, but a lot of professional athletes have had glamorous relationships in their lives, but none of them, except for Rodriguez, it seems to show up on television all the time, whether it's Madonna, Kate Hudson, etc. We know about the famous shot of the popcorn with, Madonna or Hudson at a Super Bowl. Again, very crafted, very well thought out. And that goes to right what you're saying about the insecurities. He needs to be recognized for what I'm sure he perceives as these accomplishments.
Right, and he wants to be, he's always wanted to be thought of as bigger than the game. It always seems like he tries too hard, whether it's trying too hard to be a leader or to say all the right things. I remember one time, he made that, obviously early in his career of money-making, one of the things he bought was a Picasso, and he was so proud of that because, it conveyed a certain sophistication. But then when he would talk to people about it, he didn't even know how to pronounce Picasso's name. He would say, "I bought a Picasso." It was just sort of like if you think of who the famous artist, you think Picasso is the first one you think of. So he rushes out and buys a Picasso. Again, I'm probably projecting some things on him. I've certainly never been to his house. We really don't have much of a relationship anymore because I determined a few years ago that I didn't believe what he said. And if I didn't believe what he said, then aside from group interviews where he talks to everyone at once, it really wasn't worth talking to him because he had no credibility. But I do think these things are emblematic of someone whose character is so questionable that they would lead to these kind of decisions. Because as I wrote the other day, I mean, look, he got busted, okay, but he still had the contract. They weren't going to take that away from him. All he had to do, and again, I'm sure I'm naive in this, but if you had gone through all that stuff with the admission and the ruined legacy and all that, and all he had to do was stay away from these shady people peddling these weird designer drugs, just stay away from them. I mean, like, just eat right and lift the weights and play baseball. And if you want to supplement that with nutritional vitamins or whatever, you got the New York Yankees trainers at your disposal. I mean, they'll give you the best legal stuff they can find, and it'll all be legal, and you won't have anything to worry about because you're dealing with the New York Yankees trainers. They got your Yankees training staff at your disposal, but you've got to go to a strip mall with this Anthony Bosch character. And not only that, there was a story that didn't get much traction because it was all legal, but it just really showed the depth of his poor decision-making and judgment. It was the Daily News wrote about it over the summer, and it was about how he and Bill Romanowski, noted steroid offender from the NFL, went to Victor Conti in Northern California and just to see what Victor Conti was coming up with now and what legal supplements he was coming up with now. But Alex didn't want to get out of the car to actually meet him because he wanted to hang out in the car because he knew it would look bad if he was meeting with Victor Conti. So he sent Romanowski out to meet on his behalf. And again, it didn't get a lot of attention, but it was because it was legal, I guess. But it was just like, what kind of judgment does this guy have? I mean, who else would do something like that? Again, he got a second chance. Again, he was never going to be redeemed in a lot of people's eyes, but he did ask for a second chance publicly, and then he went out and just continued to look for ways to beat the system, and it just boggles your mind that someone could be so stupid. But when you think about someone who's as insecure as A-Rod is, maybe it starts to make sense.
Tyler Kepner from the New York Times is with us here for another minute. And one last thing, and then we have to let you go, Tyler, about his obsession. I found this really fascinating, and again, it kind of speaks to everything else we've talked about, but his obsession with being young, with youth, and of course, maybe even missing out on his collegiate days and foregoing college and the University of Miami and signing a massive deal as the first overall pick with the Mariners. That's very odd to me, but it also speaks to these anti-aging clinics on another level. I find that ironic.
Right. And it's hard to blame anybody who gets drafted first overall for going out in the draft, right? I mean, sure. you're almost like too good. I mean, at that point, he knew he was going to be in the big leagues the next year, and he was. So that's pretty compelling. But I do think deep down, he really just did want to go to Miami and have that experience. And he never got that experience in his life. And I think ultimately that was detrimental to him. And I do think, I really believe, and we've already seen it, that the University of Miami will be a haven for him. It has been already, and it will continue to be a refuge for him in exile, and probably for the rest of his, I don't want to say for the rest of his life, but, you know, for the next bunch of years, because they still adore him down there. He's revered. It's natural, I guess, but he really seems to seek out people who worship him. And he, from everything I can tell, is beloved down there. And part of that was because he bought a new baseball stadium for them for $3.9 million named Alex Rodriguez Park. And I guess if you could throw away that kind of, throw around that kind of money, you can buy love and affection. But he is a hometown guy down there. And I'm sure if anybody believes his story, it'll be people down there. And so he loves the University of Miami, even though he didn't actually go there.
Yes or no, Tyler, do you think he plays Major League Baseball again?
Absolutely, he does, yeah. I don't think he plays for the Yankees, but I think he'll play somewhere. Again, he loves the game, and I think he's not going to be too old to where people will think that he can't contribute anything. I don't think he'll play for the Yankees again. I think they're done with the sideshow. They're just going to have to pay him at the sunk cost. But I do think he'll play somewhere else. That said, though, Barry Bonds never did play again after 07 because teams thought the sideshow would be too much. I don't know. A-Rod talks a good game, and if he has anything left, teams need power so badly now that I bet you someone does take a chance on him, and he'll want to play because he loves to play.
Fascinating stuff from Tyler Kepner, national baseball writer for the New York Times. Tyler, thank you so much.
All right, no problem.
Excellent stuff. We'll come back with more. Right now, though, we're checking traffic and weather together, Tamara.